Hey, I'm Scott. Here's how to support the show. First of all, sign up for the RSS feeds, iTunes, Stitcher, and what have you. The RSS link is there at scotthorton.org. And then also, stop by scotthorton.org/donate. Anybody who donates $20 right now, you get to the front of the list to get the audiobook of Fool's Errand. I'm going back over it a second time. It's taking me forever. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make sure it's good for you there. But $20 and you go to the front of the list. Anybody who donates $50 or more at scotthorton.org/donate, you get a signed copy of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. Anybody who donates $100 or more, you get a QR code commodity disc, a silver coin with a QR code on it. It tells you the instant spot price. And anyone who donates $200 or more, you get a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. And by the way, you can do monthly donations, subscription donations there of $5, $10, $20, $50, $1 million, whatever you want there by way of PayPal. And thank you very much to everybody who does that. Those monthly donations really help. And of course, you can also donate per interview at patreon.com/ScottHortonShow. And anyone who signs up now to give a dollar more per interview at patreon.com, you get 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think. So all that is at scotthorton.org/donate. Also on the front page of scotthorton.org, there's a link to amazon.com. Do all your Christmas shopping through there, and I get a kickback from their end of the sale, not yours. So that's pretty good. And then, hey, leave me a good review on iTunes or Stitcher. You guys love this show, right? So leave some reviews and tell them why. And, you know, of course, share them on Facebook and Twitter and that kind of thing if you can. Thanks.
War is the improvement of investment climates by other means. Clausewitz for dummies.
The Scott Horton Show.
Taking out Saddam Hussein turned out to be a pretty good deal.
They hate our freedoms.
We're dealing with Hitler Revisited.
We couldn't wait for that Cold War to be over, could we? So we can go and play with our toys in the sand. Go and play with our toys in the sand.
No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare.
Today, I authorize the armed forces of the United States to begin military action in Libya. That action has now begun.
When the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot be silent in the face of the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government.
All right, you guys, introducing Nasser Arabi. He's a journalist from Yemen, living in Sana'a there, the capital, and covering the war for us. He's previously written many articles for the New York Times and all over the place. Look him up on Google News. You'll find a lot of different stuff going way back. And he runs his own media company called Yemen Alan. That's Yemen Now, YemenAlan.com. Welcome back to the show, Nasser. How are you doing, man?
Thank you very much. I'm okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that you're okay. I mean, it seems like all hell is breaking loose over there, and we're talking about a country that's been at war for a long time now. So I guess, you know, the bottom line of the recent news is that the Houthi-Saleh alliance has broken, and Saleh reportedly tried to tilt back toward the Saudis and make a deal with the Saudis, and the Houthis got to him and his men first. Is that right?
Yes, this is what happened. Exactly, with a little things that I need to clarify.
Sure, please do tell, sir.
Yes. For the Houthi-Saleh alliance, it was a convenient alliance, more than political and religious or sectarian or whatever. It was just an alliance of a common enemy, not more. And we Yemenis here were expecting it to come to an end, but not during the war. So it surprised us to be during the war with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So what happened is the United Arab Emirates succeeded in convincing Saleh and his son in convincing Mohammed bin Salman, the Saudi crown prince, to gain Saleh, or to take Saleh to their side. And what happened then is before this breaking of the alliance, there was a big conflict between the two allies over the recruitment and the influence over Sana'a and the other places. So what happened exactly is this conflict started in 24 of August, but it reached its peak on December 2, this current December, when Houthi wanted to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad, and they clashed with Saleh supporters. What I wanted to say, what is the most important after the death of Saleh, is this was a big turning point, and it is a big turning point in the conflict with Saudi Arabia, in the Yemeni conflict with Saudi Arabia, not necessarily in the Yemeni, in the internal conflict of Yemenis, because Saudi Arabia failed by the death of Saleh. When Saleh was killed, this was a big failure of Saudi Arabia.
All right, now, so I guess my first big question is, do you know what is happening or what is likely to happen with the army divisions that were loyal to Saleh,
yes,
who had previously fought the Houthis? These were former enemies of the Houthis, and as you say, they had this alliance of convenience as long as they were fighting Saudi, but now whose side are they on?
See, after the death of Saleh, we are at a crossroads, and in this crossroads, we have two directions, only two directions, not three. The first direction to go is to continue fighting Saudi Arabia aggression by Houthi. But Houthi now is stronger and the dominant. The other direction is to make it the end of the beginning of the end of Houthi, because this is what Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates were planning to do. But let me tell you something that a lot of people outside Yemen don't know. What is it? It is that Saleh miscalculated. Saleh underestimated the strength of Houthi, and also he miscalculated his people or his supporters. Or his supporters let him down. Let me say, his supporters let him down. When Saleh called to uprise up against Houthi, it was like a suicide call, unfortunately, from Saleh.
I'm sorry, you're saying when he called for the people to rise up to defend him from the Houthis, they didn't?
At all. Uh-huh. And this means that the call was not planned, was not studied, was just according to misinformation to Saleh, or because of some anger and rage because of what happened between him and Houthi. So we were shocked. Everyone in Yemen was shocked of what Saleh did and what happened after he called. Because you can just imagine as a president who is very strong man, influential, a lot of popularity, yes, but imagine that he was talking about fighting Saudi Arabia for 3 years, publicly at least. And I think he was serious. He was faith. I as Yemeni, I believe him. I was believing him on that, on what he was saying about Saudi Arabia. But just imagine that he was talking about fighting Saudi Arabia for 3 years, and all of a sudden, he tells you to turn against Houthi, who was fighting, who was the real fighter of Saudi Arabia. So, let me tell you why I am saying Saleh is miscalculated. First, no one came to help him in his house. No one. I'm saying no one. No one. No army, no tribesmen. Why? Because of this switch. Because of this switch side. It was a crazy one. Crazy thing. To switch side in minutes. So, this is one thing. It was a sudden call from Saleh. The second thing is that no single fighter from the army who was fighting Saudi Arabia, no single, I'm saying, and I'm responsible for what else, no single fighter in the front who were fighting Saudi Arabia was under Saleh orders. And while Saudi Arabia and American media for 3 years saying that the forces of Saleh are fighting Saudi Arabia. Yes, there are hundreds and thousands of people from the army, from all ranks, who are fighting, yes, but they are not under the control of Saleh at all. Those who are still loyal to Saleh, or who love Saleh, or who don't want Houthi, who hate Houthi, they are at home without salaries and without anything. So when Saleh calls them, no one can even come to him because he can't give the taxi to take him any money.
Yeah. Now, so, okay, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead and ask me what you want.
All right, well, so I forget if it was talking with you or I know I said this to Iona Craig, sort of in jest, but also just floating the possibility a few months back that, well, listen, if the Houthis are the former enemies of Saleh and they can work with him and tolerate him now, and if the Saudis and the Americans backed him for 30 years before that, then doesn't that mean that he's actually the acceptable compromise to both sides? And why not just put Saleh back in power? Maybe that's not the best choice. And it seems like that, you know, the Saudis bought that. But for some reason, he didn't try. He was just going to backstab the Houthis rather than try to compromise and bring them along in a new coalition.
Let me tell you something important. Saudi Arabia also miscalculated. United Arab Emirates also miscalculated much, much, much more than Saleh, unfortunately. They miscalculated the strength of Saleh. They miscalculated what Saleh could do for them. The day when Saleh called the people for uprising, or just before hours before what he said, Saudi Arabia media and the United Arab Emirates media were saying that Sana'a fell in the hand of Saleh, the Mar fell in the hand of Saleh supporters, the military bases, and they talked about all Yemen in one day. You know, media frenzy, all of it was lie. Nothing was right. Nothing. I was laughing, and everybody who knows the reality would laugh also like me. And so Saudi Arabia wanted to make, you know, a victory from nothing. So one day they were talking about the victory when there is nothing, no people in the street, no uprising, no army, no capturing what they said they captured. Nothing happened. But what happened after that is Houthi came to Saleh Street and blockaded the house. And then Saleh, they went to the places where some people or some tribal leaders tried to act with Saleh. And they arrested them easily. In 24 hours, less than 24 hours, everyone was captured and Saleh was blockaded, and they gave him 48 hours as an ultimate to hand himself. So it was a big failure for Saudi Arabia because they also miscalculated what would happen after Saleh, or if Saleh breaks the lie with Houthi, because nothing in his hand, nothing in his hand. Yes, people, they were betting on the anger of people, because people now without salaries for 15 months from all parties, from all sections and from all areas and regions, yes. But the people know that it's only killing each other. It's only a chaos. So it's not, they couldn't do anything. No one would fight. No one, who would fight? And the people who could fight with Saleh, the army and these things, they can't do anything because no support, nothing from any place. Even if Saudi Arabia wanted to give them something, they should have done it before. Not in overnight, and they wanted to make this uprising. So they failed 100%. But this, of course, failure means, it could mean better or worse to Yemen now, to Sana'a. Houthi now is stronger at least one, because he became one lead. They became one leadership, one negotiator, but for the strength, it is the same strength. It is only, you know, he also delivered a message to the outside world that what Saudi Arabia failed to do in 3 years, in killing or capturing Saleh, I did it in hours.
Mm-hmm. I
like this.
I want to make sure I understand you right, that you're saying that the fact that the army divisions that were loyal to Saleh and left the government with him and have been fighting alongside the Houthis this time, the fact that they didn't come to his defense shows that they already have really ceded authority to the Houthi political leaders to follow their orders, or they're just free agents now.
And the others who are not with Houthi and who hate Houthi,
mm-hmm.
They couldn't do anything in 24 hours, and at all, because they are not equipped, they are not financed, they are they are not organized, and it's just a call.
I see. In other words, the Houthi leadership has virtually total control over their side of the war against Saudi Arabia, and the former kind of coalition alliance with Saleh and his forces has now just evolved under their authority.
From the very beginning of this aggression, not from now,
okay.
From the very beginning of this aggression. From the very beginning of this aggression. So people outside were only talking about, exaggerating about the role of Saleh. Saleh was influential, yes, but in talking, yes, political, yes, politician, yes, a good politician, yes. He has a lot of supporters, a lot of activists who use Facebook and Twitter, but not concrete things, unfortunately.
Well, and I think I saw you say on Twitter that his son has now been killed. His whole political group is basically, you know, completely marginalized at this point.
Yes.
All right, now, so... I mean, the obvious question is, so what does this mean for the war? It means that if this was a chance for peace, it's dead now.
It's a very important thing. We should focus on this point. What could happen after this, after the death of Saleh? What could also happen is what is the next step? What could happen, as I told you, is Houthi could continue. Houthi could continue with this strength and then negotiate from one side, and they can come to an agreement if they want, because it's only one negotiator. Or the Saudi and United Arab Emirates continue in penetrating the key role, the key players. The key players for Houthi, the key players for Houthi are the tribesmen, or the seven tribes around the city called or known as the Collar tribes. Seven tribes. This is historically, not only from now, historically, the seven tribes, big tribes around Sana'a, which are known as the collar tribes, the collar around. If they can help Saudi Arabia, a breakthrough can happen. But I am not expecting this to happen at all, because after what Saleh said, all the supporters in these seven tribes, the Saleh supporters, would join Houthi blindly. And the only who will remain as not supporters of Houthi are those who are in conflict with Houthi for other reasons, like sectarian or like personal revenge or something like this. But for national things and patriotic things, they were shocked by Saleh to call or to say that he's switching sides. He's switching sides. He didn't say, I'm going to be with Saudi Arabia, to be honest. He said that we should uprise up against Houthi. He called people to uprise up against Houthi. And this was a big shock. And he said that war with Saudi Arabia was pointless. And people were shocked, of course, by this, because Saudi Arabia killed and destroyed thousands of people and destroyed all Yemen. And at the end, you say it was pointless. It was a big problem for him. So the key thing is that tribesmen of the seven tribes around Sana'a, if they would help Saudi Arabia or not. But I am not expecting, after all what happened to Yemen, I'm not expecting them to switch at all. Because if they were ready to do anything, they would have helped Saleh, because Saleh is from their tribe, and Saleh was they loved him a lot, but they could not even help him when he was in need for help, and they could have done a lot of things to help him, at least to rescue him, but they didn't do. And it's enough now. It's enough for anyone. It's a big evidence that these tribesmen would not do anything in favor of Saudi Arabia because they would have helped Saleh first. But now they lost Saleh, and they hate Saudi Arabia very much because as a historic enemy, and also as the killer of Yemen and destroyer of Yemen for 3 years now, killer of their sons and destroyer of their country. We have three things now, three elements. We have Saleh has tribesmen, Saleh has army, Saleh had party. The army, I told you, it was nothing, only with the Houthi.
Right.
Tribesmen
abandoned them.
They are now with Houthi. They were divided between Houthi and Saleh, but even the home village of Saleh now is with Houthi. At least this week, because after what Saleh said. So what is left is his political party. Mm-hmm. His political party, it was not that established. It was not that establishment. It was not, you know, his party was Saleh and Saleh was his party. So, I mean, there was no references and there was no that big establishment that has its institutions and all these things. So what is left now is the politicians in his party who need to ally with Houthi or to go to be marginalized. I think Houthi would only be successful, and he did this already, only if he gains the loyalty of this party, of the politician of this party. And this is what is he doing. The coalition government is still working now. The president is still the president who was approved by the two parties, by the two groups, Saleh and Houthi, are still
working.
What's
his name, the president?
Saleh Samad. Saleh Samad.
Okay, I'm sorry. Samad.
Yes. He called yesterday for dialogue, and he reassured the people of the political parties, of the BGC, of the Saleh party. And he said we would open a new chapter of alliance and of cooperation, and our enemy is one. And this is what is expected to happen, because many of the Saleh party who did not go to Saudi Arabia know very well the historic enemy of Yemen is Saudi Arabia, and they couldn't do anything with Saudi Arabia. And for Houthi, it's all his success would be a success only if he reassures the Saleh party. And if he also gains them to his side, and also if he be fair with them in power sharing and in everything, of course he would be in an upper hand with the upper hand, as he was. This is something that I observed from the very beginning of the aggression, and from the very beginning when Houthi came to Sana'a, when Houthi overran Sana'a and captured Sana'a, he was the one with the upper hand in everything. Now he would be without Saleh, which means it would be better. The situation would be better, because Saleh was a big player, but without concrete things. He was a big player in spoiling, if I can say, in spoiling and in just in inciting and in just in. As a famous leader and these things, but not in fixing and not in helping even his supporters. Mm-hmm. So he was just a spoiler, not unfortunately, not not a fixer.
All right, hang on just one second. Hey guys, did you notice the new and improved show notes? Damon Hathaway has been doing a great job with the show notes there on the pages at libertarianinstitute.org and at scotthorton.org. So check out the links for all the information we talk about in these interviews. You guys have been asking for that for a long time. Well, we got it now. Good show notes at scotthorton.org, etc. All right, this show is sponsored by The War State. Mike Swanson wrote it. It's a great book about the early history of the military-industrial complex after World War II. And he also gives great investment advice at wallstreetwindow.com. And when you get that advice, you want to go buy your medals from Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. That's rrbi.co, rrbi.co. LibertyStickers.com for anti-government propaganda for the back of your truck. And we got a brand new and improved site and brand new and improved sticker art coming up soon for you there at LibertyStickers.com. And of course, you'll probably also want to sign up for Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom by way of the link on my page. And I'll tell you what, did you notice how great the website is at foolserrand.us, the website for my book? Well, it is great. And you know who did that? It was Harley Abbott at expanddesigns.com/Scott. And if you go to expanddesigns.com/Scott, you can save $500 on your brand new website. All right, so let me ask you about the split in the country. And I guess, who rules Aden? The Houthis rule everything from Sana'a to the north up to the Saudi border. But who rules the south? Is it UAE forces there?
South is ruled by militias of Emirates called themselves. They call themselves the Iraq or the South Separatists. And they are not only they are not controlling everything. Qaeda and ISIS has upper hand in some places like Shabwa and Hadramaut, and so Qaeda, ISIS and South separatists are ruling the South. And the South separatists are backed by Emirates 100%, and they are, you know, the United Arab Emirates use them as their as their agent to do whatever they want, but Qaeda is also doing whatever they want, and Qaeda is in link, in a way or another, or have links in a way or another with the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood means the people who are under Hadi, who is based in Riyadh, who is exiled in Riyadh. So three different groups in the south. United Arab Emirates hired, or United Arab Emirates supported militias who call themselves the South Separatists, and the second is the Qaeda and ISIS. The third one is the people who are against all. Who want to keep the unity, and who in a way or another in contact with Houthi here, because they are, their leaders are here in Sana'a with Houthi. So there are South people or Southerners who are based in Sana'a and who are working with Houthi here in Sana'a. And they have their own supporters in the south who want to keep the unity of Yemen.
All right, now tell me, what's the stage of the siege now? Because after the missile attack a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I guess, that was shot down but almost hit the airport in Riyadh there, they announced they were clamping down on the siege, and they were not just, you know, shutting down all commercial traffic as they have done for the past 2.5 years. They were shutting down even the airport and the Hodeidah port to Red Cross and other international relief organization medical and food aid there. And then there were reports that they started letting some planes land at the Sana'a airport, and and I guess that's all I know. But so is the siege much worse now than before, or did they start lifting it again, or what is the status of that?
The siege is a little bit eased now, because there were a lot of aids allowed in from Hodeidah and from the airports of Sana'a. That is UN relief, I mean, not commercial. And there was some commercial in Hodeidah. But Saudi Arabia is still using it. If the pressure, the international pressure if the when the international pressure goes down, Saudi Arabia exploit the situation and tighten the blockade. What I am now expecting is that what happened in Sana'a, because what happened in Sana'a was a big shock to everyone, to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and people outside, and even to Yemenis, inside and outside. So Saudi Arabia said that Hadi ordered the army to enter Sana'a. I think they are now waiting for what Hadi could do, because they said the last card was used now. Which one? The last card that Saudi Arabia wanted to play is to break the alliance between Houthi and Saleh. Now it is broken. What is next for Saudi Arabia is to enter to Sana'a. But what is happening now in reality, Sana'a now is more difficult, Houthi is more stronger. So would Saudi Arabia come back to tighten the blockade? This is what I am expecting. I'm expecting that Saudi Arabia would tighten, would come to its dirty games to tighten the blockade. What is happening in Sana'a now? It's striking Sana'a day and night and destroying everything, destroying the destroyed places. Because Saudi Arabia wanted to tell people here in Sana'a that I am with Saleh now. Saleh was with me, and now it is striking every place where Houthi, where they think that Houthi are located. Houthi are everywhere, and there is no places that are captured by Saleh people or Saleh supporters. So it is just striking everywhere in Sana'a. But now, yesterday they hit everywhere, and the day before, and to tell people that I'm with Saleh and Saleh is with me. But unfortunately, I'm expecting them to give up also, because they achieved nothing except more than destroying the stores or the building or the houses of the people, but they do not even kill Houthi fighters at all.
All right, so now the Red Cross is saying, it's almost unbelievable, I don't know, they're saying 900,000 people have cholera, and now they're saying there's an outbreak of diphtheria too. What can you tell us about that?
For the cholera, yes, there are about 1 million, yes. And as I always talk with you, it's cholera was a result of the destroying the clean water facilities deliberately by Saudi Arabia. And diphtheria is there now, yes, as a new, and it is spreading now, a new disease, and it is spreading. And many people were infected, and many people were already killed, yes, by this epidemic. And these diseases are connected to the health system, which is destroyed. No hospitals, no clinics, no medicine, no. It's easy. I mean, it's connected with the blockade, with the Saudi blockade. And unfortunately, Saudi Arabia is supporting these things to kill more and to exercise more pressure on Yemenis. But I think it's always backfires against Saudi Arabia. And the last thing was what happened between Houthi and Saleh last week. That was also against Saudi Arabia. Until now, it is against Saudi Arabia. It could be for Saudi Arabia if the tribesmen help Saudi Arabia, but this is impossible to happen after what Saudi Arabia is doing. They are killing also. They are destroying. Today, for example, they destroyed the last government building, the last government building in Sana'a, in the middle of Sana'a, destroyed it. People were very angry, even people who are with Saudi Arabia or who hate Houthi. They say, why they are doing this? So this is what Saudi Arabia is doing. Always stupid.
All right, Nasser. Well, I guess I wonder if you think that there are any real options now for any kind of negotiated settlement. Maybe not a peace, but some kind of ceasefire, a way to just stop the madness for a minute, other than just America and Saudi just choosing to do the right thing, because that's not going to happen, apparently.
What I can say about this is that negotiation and talks now would be better than before. Any efforts for negotiation and talks would be better, because, as I told you, Saleh was big influential politician, yes, but because of his history with Houthi, he would not give the chance for Houthi at all. Now the chance is there for Houthi, and Houthi is to be or not to be now, to be successful or to be failed. And even the government and everything, there will be the big blame now would be on Houthi if he did not do anything for the people, or if he also becomes a good fighter against the aggression or not. So, and this is what people are waiting to see.
All right. Well, best of luck to you there, Nasser. I really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Thank you very much, Scott.
All right, you guys. That's Nasser Arabi on the line from Sana'a, Yemen, reporting on the American and Saudi inflicted genocide there. I'm Scott Horton. You know the deal. ScottHorton.org for the show. LibertarianInstitute.org for the Institute. Antiwar.com for all the stuff I want you to read. And read my book, Fool's Errand. It's at FoolsErrand.us. Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. It's really good. And follow me on Twitter, @ScottHortonShow.